This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. My name is Louise and I'm an alcoholic. The purpose of this show is to increase public awareness of Alcoholics Anonymous as an effective means of recovery from the disease of alcoholism. Our show has two parts. First, we'll talk a bit about alcoholism, what it is and what AA can do to help. Then we'll interview a recovering alcoholic who is an active member of AA. I'm now going to ask our guests to read the AA preamble, which is read at the start of every AA meeting.
Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We're self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses or opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
So what is alcoholism? Alcoholism is a disease, not a disgrace. There's no shame in having an illness or a disease. An unusual feature of this disease is that it will do whatever it can to convince you that you do not have it. However, once it has a hold of you, the progression of symptoms is like the classic disease model, and the victim is as helpless as a sufferer of cancer. If you are an alcoholic, you are at the beginning of a long road that usually ends in one of three places: prisons, institutions, or death. If you think this sounds dramatic, we can assure you that our collective experience has shown this to be true. The challenge is to convince the alcoholic to admit that they need help and become willing to seek it. Denial is a major symptom of alcoholism. The alcoholic is often the last one to recognise it and admit that they have it. Our definition of alcoholism is that it is an allergy of the body coupled with an obsession of the mind. The allergy is the physical aspect of the disease. After having the first drink, the phenomenon of craving develops and we lose control over when we will stop. The old saying is, one is too many and a thousand is never enough. And yet, because of the obsession of the mind, the mental aspect of the disease, the alcoholic is compelled to keep picking up the first drink. And this is what makes us powerless. We often hear from sober alcoholics that many doubted whether life could be fun without alcohol. Fortunately, those same people report that their lives have improved dramatically since they became sober. The 12-step program of recovery, which is discussed at meetings and which is outlined in the Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book, is how we get sober and maintain our sobriety one day at a time. The program has a proven track record of helping otherwise hopeless alcoholics to achieve long-term sobriety and recovery. It has taught us how to enjoy life sober. Okay, for anyone who has just joined us, you're listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9, and we're just about to interview an AA member who is going to share their experience with alcoholism. So would our guests like to introduce themselves?
Kieran, recovering alcoholic.
Kieran, welcome to the show. Would you just like to tell us a little bit about who you are, how old, and how long have you been sober?
I've been sober 37 years, and I'm 73 years old.
Wonderful. And tell us a little bit about, do you work? Are you, you got family?
I have three sons, and now and again I help my son doing painting and plastering.
Wonderful.
Part time.
Yeah. Wonderful. And Christchurch, you're from Christchurch?
Yeah, I'm from Angura.
Wonderful. Yep. And so tell us a little bit about your childhood. What was it like growing up?
Not that good. They call it a dysfunctional family now.
Right.
My father was a practicing alcoholic, very violent, and I was sexually abused for 5 years by a school teacher.
Wow, so there's some big stuff there.
There's a lot of stuff going down, yep.
Yeah, and so, you know, what was it like in, you know, heading into your teens, and when did you start drinking?
When I was 14, I was college, and I couldn't read or write then because I couldn't concentrate. And they used to pick on me and try to get me to read out of the book. And one day I blew and I gave a guy a hiding because I could fight. I learnt to box from my father. And I left. And I went and got a job.
So at the age of 14?
At 14, yep. One day I was in the shed at home in the woodshed with a friend and I found 5 bottles of wine.
Oh.
And it was apparently homemade.
Oh, goodness.
And we thought we'll clean a few up. So we drank 4, 2 each.
What did it do to you?
Well, it was like magic. I forgot who I was.
Yeah.
And I felt relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
I could laugh. And I thought, well, this is great. But then I become very sick.
I bet.
I said I'll never drink again.
And so what happened from that point, though? I'm assuming you did drink again.
Well, next weekend, when I got my first pay, I went and got some fella to buy me couple of flagons of alcohol, and I started drinking with my friend from then on. Every weekend we drank, Saturday and Sunday, payday Wednesday, and just carried on from there.
Did you drink, did your friend drink like you did?
Was it
part of the culture, part of the
norm? Then I started boxing again, I boxed for 10 years, and I played rugby for 20. And there was always alcohol after every practice. After every game, there was alcohol. Of course, my father's drank alcohol. I drank with him, his friends, and it was just one big party.
And yep. So were there any consequences at that young age as a result of drinking?
I drove the car drunk, but I never got caught.
Okay.
I got in a couple of fights where I was locked up for fighting for the night. And I got off those charges, but I was very lucky when it came to the law. I never ended up in jail, but I could have.
And what about jobs?
Job to job. I couldn't hold a job down. I couldn't settle. Ended up working at the freezing works. Then in the off-season, I'd have 2 or 3 different jobs.
Right.
I would argue and just leave. I was pretty hard to handle.
And what about relationships, family? You know, what was your relationship like with your family?
Well, my father and me used to argue a lot, and I didn't have a very good relationship with him due to his violence. I got on well with my mother. That was good. And otherwise, it was pretty good. I had 3 sisters and a brother. And when I'm in drunk, he ended up an alcoholic.
Is there alcoholism in your siblings as well?
Yeah, my brother got 30 years sober and he died a few years ago sober.
Wow.
He got 30 years sober in the end. After he went to Hamna for the family week with me, he never drank again.
Oh, that's amazing.
And that was a pretty good story.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah. So tell us about how your drinking progressed into early adulthood.
I got married at 21, and we had 2 sons, and I was drinking a lot then, and my wife tried to join me, she started drinking.
Sure.
And within 2 years, she was drinking alcoholically, and she tried to take an overdose to kill herself, and they put her in hospital. And they said to her that she needed to go to Queen Mary Hospital. And then they started looking at my drinking. And they asked me if I'd like to go, so I went in 1977.
And
we went together. Yeah.
And prior to that, you know, did you ever try and stop yourself?
Yep, I tried to stop many times. I stayed sober once for a year.
Okay.
On my own bat.
How did that go? How did you feel?
Oh, hard work.
Yeah.
I was probably a dry drunk. But I did it, and then the rugby season started, and then I started drinking again. And then down the track again, I tried to stop for about 3 or 4 months, and then I'd make up for lost time. I'd drink myself sick and just couldn't stop.
In those times that you did try and stop, did you ever ask for help, or was it something you just did on your own?
No, I never asked for help. I didn't know anything about AA or... I didn't even know I was an alcoholic. I thought I was just a normal drinker.
And obviously your relationships, having your wife as well come into recovery. So tell us about when you were in 1977, you went into your...
First attempt of giving up.
Okay, yep. And tell us, what was that like?
I found Hamna really helpful. I think I would have struggled if I had... done it on my own, but Hamna pulled it out to me part of my problems and helped me become a member of AA. They encouraged AA in Hamner.
Okay, so that's where you went to your first meeting?
Yep, and they done psychodrama on me about my sex abuse. And that was a big help. And they had family work with my mum and dad, and they both came.
Wow.
And he saw the light, and they brought up stuff that happened many years ago. And they told my father he had 35 years resentment.
Wow.
And he said, you need to sort it out. And that was a big help.
Yeah. But, and so the meetings, tell us about what were the people like in the meetings?
Yeah, to start with, when I came back to Christchurch, I went to meetings and I found it hard to start with because I don't like talking. I was very quiet, reserved. And I found it hard to settle in AA because of that fact that I didn't like sharing. I'd cramp up. I always hide down the back. And it took me a while to settle in.
And how did that change?
Well, one day I was at a meeting and I heard in the talk of the fifth chapter in AA said that no human power can relieve you of alcoholism, but God could and would of your sort.
Wow.
And that sort of hit a message where I don't have to do it on my own. So from there I handed over. But once I cottoned onto that, things became easier. Yeah.
And we talk about AA being a spiritual program, not a religious program.
Yep.
And so for you, that has that changed over the years?
Yeah, well, to me now it's not religious, it's just your belief, your power greater than you. And I'm a person who would find it hard not to believe anyway.
And tell us about the people in the meetings. What were they like?
They were great. I met a fellow there and he became my sponsor for many years and he was a great help.
And so sponsorship, really important.
Yep.
What about service? What does service look like for you?
Yeah, I've done a lot of service. I did the secretaryship for many years, different places, five years in the base, secretary at Sumner. And I did a lot of sponsorship and taking people to meetings. It was part of giving and, and the giving you receive.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. So tell us, you know, 37 years, how have you coped in times of difficulty?
Well, it hasn't been easy, but I've had I've had three marriages. The first marriage broke up after 7 years, and then I got remarried again later on. That lasted six. Then I was married again for another six.
Lucky number six.
Number six. And then I'm still on my own, which I find fine. I depend on probably God for my happiness now, not other people. And I'm basically quite happy. And I love the fellowship of AA.
And what does it look like today for you, the fellowship? What does your recovery program consist of?
It's great. I go to about three meetings a week. And I've been very fortunate. My son used to live in overseas for 20 years in Spain and Sweden. We used to go, and over there I went to all the meetings.
Amazing.
People picked me up, took me to meetings, and it was just all the same.
That's and it's just truly beautiful that we can do that.
Yep.
And, okay, so some of the things, you know, that you've done to keep yourself sober, you know, have they changed over the years?
No, well, I have a pretty good social life. I get rock and rolling. I do karaoke. belong to quite a few clubs. I go to the gym, do lightweights, not too much. I do boxing coaching at ARA.
Cool.
With my friend, and he's a recovering as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I keep, you know, pretty good. And,
you know, how do you feel within yourself today, you know, that self-esteem and confidence that you talked about that you just didn't have when you were younger?
Yep, it's all there now. I love myself now. I didn't used to. I had a lot of fear and guilt, a lot of shame.
And what helped you move through those things?
I did 3 years counselling with a counsellor through ACC, paid for it.
As well as
the abuse.
As well as meetings.
Yep, and AA meetings. I've done men's groups. I've been to conversions, three, four. I've been monetary 19 times, AA retreats.
Oh, wow.
Years ago. Yep.
Wow. That's brilliant. And your relationships with your friends and family members today, your siblings?
Yeah, I've got lots of friends.
Yep.
Heaps of mates, male friends. Mm-hmm. Not many woman friends, but I leave that in God's hands.
And so tell us, you know, a little bit more about, you know, some of the things you've experienced whilst being sober, some of those.
Well, when I went overseas to see my son in Spain, I'd stay there for 3 months.
Mm.
And I met a fella, I was looking at a shop, and I met a guy there. He was an Englishman, and he was a Buddhist priest. And I got talking to him, and he belonged to AA.
Mm.
So he gave me a job in Spain for 3 months building a house.
Wow.
And he took me everywhere. A real nice English gentleman.
And you got to go to, you know, AA?
He took me to meetings in Spain.
Did they speak English?
Some of them did, some of them didn't. But you still got the message, you could tell, you know, with the steps on the wall.
Yeah.
But it was all the same, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no, it was a great experience. And I've been to lots of meetings in America, Mexico,
mm-hmm.
of course Australia, and Sweden. That was good. Yep.
And so these are some of the gifts of the program. So what are your goals for the future?
Well, at the moment, keep away from that forest. Stay alive. Just carry on doing meetings and do what I love, dancing. And, you know, I think the most important thing I found that relationships with people is more important than money in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've lost a lot of stuff, materialism, through broken marriages and things.
Sure.
But my relationships with people is more important.
Mm-hmm.
And this gentleman told me years ago that whatever you give away, you keep for all eternity. You can't take that with you, only what you're giving away. Your time, your love, your money, your food, you know, it's a fellowship.
And so talking about, you know, some of those more difficult times when you had, you know, was your sobriety compromised at any time?
I had a breakdown. My first marriage broke down. I had a breakdown for about 3 months. I was a mess.
What did that look like? How did that play out?
When I thought of suicide, I thought I couldn't do that to my sons.
Mm.
So I had the hanging. And I always thought I was one thought away from being insane at times.
Mm.
But I keep reading my readings from AA. I still went to meetings. Mm-hmm. And I keep contact with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, losing your wife and your family and that. But I got the children back with me. And I brought the house back.
Mm-hmm.
And looked after the boys on my own till they grew up.
Wow.
And that was the best thing I've ever done. My relationship with them is really strong. You know.
And
a real bond. Yeah.
And has there been any time that you have picked up after being in?
No.
So you've maintained that sobriety the whole time?
Yeah, I've never drank since. I've haven't had a desire to drink.
That's amazing.
I've never turned to alcohol. I know it won't do any good.
Mm-hmm.
That one drink is too many.
Mm.
No, I've AA saved my life, you know, and I feel blessed that I've had the opportunity to be in it.
Mm.
You know.
And what would you say to someone who thinks, you know, they may have a drinking problem? What do you think wish someone might have said to you?
Well, I'd just tell them my experience and tell them that it's hard work, and that they said they don't promise you a rose garden. But if you do the what's suggested, and if you do the program, read the steps, get away from the first drink, go to meetings, you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But reach out for a sponsor, use the phone.
And what are some of the things for someone who might not be sure if they have a drinking problem or not?
Well, try AA for 6 months. If you don't like it, they'll refund you back what you had. As simple as that. And to be straight up, be honest, but not hurtful. You know, just point out quietly.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look down on them. Don't judge. Just, you know, play it cool.
Mm.
Yeah. And just love them. Yep.
Yep. We touched on the spiritual program and how important that is for you. And so what would you recommend for someone who might be struggling with that?
Don't worry too much about it. Just chug along, go to meetings, and just use what you can, you know, to pray, hand over. Even if you don't believe, try. Just try it. And if it doesn't work, well, I'm sure it will.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen guys come in AA who don't believe in whatsoever. Within 3 months, they're talking about their higher power.
Amazing.
Yeah, you know, I've seen more, and I've been a church person for years.
Sure.
I saw more miracles in AA than in church.
Sure.
Yeah.
And how does that differ, church, for you versus AA? Is that...
Well, church is completely different. In AA, you can have a yarn after the meeting, have a cuppa, have a talk. That's another meeting.
Mm,
but
exactly.
In church, most people run for the door after it. You'll have a cup of tea, but they're gone.
So a real sense of fellowship.
Yeah, the fellowship's very strong in AA.
And did you struggle with that initially? Was that something you found hard to be a part of?
Yeah, I didn't like it at all. I didn't even like being there.
And how did you change that? How did that change?
Well, when I did hand it over, when I started, there was a guy who was talking about his washing on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at the Sumner meeting, which was in a private house.
Mm-hmm.
Where they had all silver and gold and stuff, you know. And this guy came in and he's talking about his washing the line. This lady put her head over the fence and said, "Oh, do you wash your dusters?" He said, "I beg your pardon." He said, "They're my underpants." And it brought the meeting down to my level.
You know? Oh,
so I asked him to be my sponsor.
Wow.
Yeah, and it went from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you've had that sponsor for...
Oh, I've had him for years. I've got another one now because he died.
Sure.
I have a new one who's been sober 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a lovely guy.
Amazing.
Real gentleman. He's a great man on the spiritual side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I go out and have a yarn to him from time to time.
Brilliant.
And he said, "Oh, we sponsor each other."
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, Kieran, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
For our listeners, if you've related to anything that you've heard or would like some more information about Alcoholics Anonymous, you can look us up on the web at www.aa.org.nz or call us on 0800 AA Works. There are over 60 meetings a week in Canterbury, so it's likely there's one near you. Join us next week to hear from more AA members sharing their experiences. Our show airs every Monday at 5:30 p.m. on Plains FM and repeats on Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. You can also find podcasts of our past shows on the Plains FM website at plainsfm.org.nz, or you can download, subscribe and listen to podcasts on iTunes and Spotify. That brings us to the end of the show. Thank you for listening, and remember, if you want to drink, that's your business, but if you want to stop, we can help. You don't have to do it alone. We'll now close the show with the Serenity Prayer, as we do in every AA meeting. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. You've been listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show on Plains FM 96.9.